The Rancor's Brothel presents The Curse of Strahd.
So here we are, Matt. This is exciting. I will tell you, you're not the first person that I've done this with, but normally no one ever knows, and I usually tell the person that this happens to swear to secrecy because it makes it more exciting.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to talk to the guys about this.
No. But what's nice about this is I can't keep it completely secret, but if we think about it now, just for the audience's perspective, just so that when they listen to next week's episode, we're going to record this now. I have started a completely separate file. I will maintain this file. The guys won't have any opportunity to hear it. So you will have in-game time, or, you know, in real time, approximately, let's say, a month to start. It'll probably be 2 to 3 months of real time, likely, before the guys ever hear this.
Wow, we have a lot of episodes.
Like, I'm taking a broad guess there. I would say a minimum of 8 weeks, if not more.
All right.
Because I've already got the month we're in planned out, and I've already got next month planned out, and that still won't get us all the way through Horde of the Dragon Queen yet. So, just sort of depends on how things shake up, and Lucas's game that he's going to hopefully start and when we release that first episode, but I might intentionally try and push us back a little bit farther to keep it for a minute. Anyway.
No worries.
So, where we left our good dragon born friend, Tribeless Bozak, she watched her compatriots slip away into the darkness.
In the opposite direction in which she was
traveling
being
in a
taken.
Black carriage drawn by massive black stallions at a rapid pace down a nice cobblestone thoroughfare that has seen better days.
She says to herself, I need a Liam Neeson.
You got a spell to call?
Summon Liam. Yeah, it's
there you go.
I think it's a level 3 spell, though. I can't do that one.
That is unfortunate. So, I need to find the proper pages. These are pages I didn't expect to turn to anytime soon, so excuse me if I'm a tad bit rusty on exactly where they are. After winding through the forest and craggy mountain peaks, the road takes a sudden turn to the east, and the startling, awesome presence of a castle towers before you. The carriage comes to a dead stop between twin turrets of stone, broken from years of exposure. Beyond the guard towers is the precipice of a 50-foot-wide, fog-filled chasm that disappears into unknown depths. A lower drawbridge of old, shored up wooden beams stretch across the chasm between you and the archway to the courtyard. The chains of the drawbridge creak in the wind, their rust-eaten iron straining under the weight. From atop the high walls, stone gargoyles stare out at you of their hollow eye sockets and grin hideously. A rotting wooden portcullis, green with growth, hangs above the entry tunnel. Beyond this location, the main doors stand open. A rich, warm light spills from within, flooding the courtyard. Torches flutter sadly in sconces on both sides of the open doors. So the carriage rattles across this, bridge, rattles across the drawbridge here, and brings you into this lavish courtyard. The walls are towering above you, the spires soar hundreds of feet into the air, and you see that the massive entryway is open. I actually believe that you clattered across a bridge as well, but it was not in that description. Let me double check. But I think you hit a bridge that dropped unseeingly into the fog, and then you clattered across a drawbridge, as I recall. So you're now sitting in the entryway, in the sort of the open courtyard of the castle.
Is the door open?
It is.
Like my door, then.
Oh, yes. As the carriage pulls up and the horses sort of turn sideways as to present you within about 20 feet of the entryway. And as it stops, the carriage door swings open.
Okay, then.
You forgot how much fun it could be playing one-on-one, didn't you?
Yeah. I step out and take in my surroundings.
The walls that enclose the courtyard are 90 feet high. Dark towers rise even further. Doors and gate towers on each side of the tunnel entrance are shut against the steady rain that has begun to pick up, and a howling wind rushes through the courtyard.
Now, does my character realize where she's at?
I would say probably.
My character is going to try to walk the other way on the bridge.
Okay. Let's see if I can find that. As you start to walk away, you hear a voice call out to you. Ma'am! 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 It's calling from the entryway.
I turn and look.
You see an older elf. He's a... Ma'am, my master waits to speak with you. Please. Dinner is ready.
What's your master's name?
Why, he is Count Strahd von Zarovich.
Just making him say it. Okay, well, what's your name, sir?
My name is not of importance, but if you would like to call me, please address me Izrahadin.
Izrahadin.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure to meet you. Izrahadin. Ten.
Rahadin. His name Whatever. Is not Is Rahadin.
Oh, I thought it was like I-Z.
My name is
Rahadin.
Rahadin.
Okay, Rahadin the elf. Mm. What kind of elf are you, Rahadin? You look different.
You would know, you're from Faerun, you would know that he is not a dusk elf if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
I like the idea, though.
Well, I come on in.
Okay. So the entryway...
Wipe my feet in the entryway.
The ornate outer doors of the castle hang open, flanked by fluttering torches and iron sconces. 20 feet inside the castle is a second set of doors. As you approach... Perception check?
Unnatural 20.
You realize that the doors in front... So it's sort of like a nice sort of entryway. You can tell that this is where cloaks would be hung or something, you know. And again, this is a 10 by 10 space, roughly. You notice that Rahadin moves forward, and the doors swing open. But the doors swing open before he gets there.
That's not normal, is it there, Rahadin?
And as the doors in front of you suddenly swing open, it reveals a grand hall filled with the sound of organ music. Overhead in the vaulted entry foyer, four statues of dragons glare down, their eyes flickering in the torchlight.
I just keep following Rahadin.
Mm-hmm.
Did he answer my question?
Huh?
That's not normal, huh?
He just turns, and again, I have a better description of him on this page, I guess. An elf with brown skin and long black hair stands quiet as a cat. He wears a gray cloak over black studded leather armor and has a polished scimitar hanging from his belt.
Didn't sound like the kind of servant I was thinking of. Okay.
So as you enter a grand hallway. You see this hallway runs 120 feet to a closed set of doors. You see doors on all sides of you, a massive staircase to your left leading upwards to the second floor. And he seems to stand in this little entryway, and by little I mean it's sort of an octagonal room that's
octagonal.
You tell me what to do.
Octagonal.
That is roughly 20 by 20.
Okay.
Massive pillars. Cobwebs stretch between the columns that support the vaulted ceiling of this great dusty hall, lit by sputtering torches and iron sconces. The torches cast odd shadows across the faces of 8 stone gargoyles squatting motionlessly on the rim of the domed ceiling. Cracked and faded ceiling frescoes are covered by decay. Double doors stand closed to the east. To the north, a wide staircase climbs into the darkness. A lit hallway to the south contains another set of bronze doors through which you hear sad and more majestic organ tones. He stands there, turns to face you, and indicates, as he says, that his master is expecting you to proceed to your right, which is the lit area opposite the staircase. So, traveling to the south.
Okay. Well, it's well lit.
I wouldn't say well lit, but it is lit.
Okay.
Well, it is lit. That is the only direction in which it is lit well enough that... Do you have dark vision?
No.
Okay. It is the only way that you could see well. You could continue beyond him or up the stairs, but it is significantly less
Okay.
Lit.
Well, then, I go down the lit hall.
Okay. Torchlight flutters against the walls of this vaulted hall. To the east, an arched hallway stretches for 20 feet, ending in a spiral staircase that goes up and down. Next to the hallway, a suit of armor, oiled and glistening, stands at attention in a shallow alcove. To the west, large double doors hang slightly open, and a steady bright light escapes through the opening. Swells of organ music come from behind the door, spilling their melody of power and defeat into the hall.
I approach those doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I knock.
As you put your hand on it, it seems to swing open quite easily. Three enormous crystal chandeliers brilliantly illuminate this magnificent chamber. Pillars of stone stand against dull white marble walls supporting the ceiling. In the center of the room, a long, heavy table is covered with a fine white satin cloth. The table is laden with many delectable foods. Roasted beef basted in a savory sauce, roots and herbs of every taste, and sweet fruits and vegetables. Places are set for each of you with fine, delicate china and silver. At each place is a crystal goblet filled with an amber liquid of delicate, tantalizing fragrance. At the center of the far west hall, between floor-to-ceiling mirrors stands a massive organ. Its pipes blare out a thunderous melody that speaks in the tone of greatness and despair. Seated at the organ, facing away from you, a single caped figure pounds the keys in raptured ecstasy. The figure suddenly stops, and a deep silence falls over the dining hall as it slowly turns to you. Welcome, Bozak. I'm glad to greet you here in my home.
That was lovely playing.
Thank you. I have had many years to practice the art of playing the organ. It is not an easy instrument to play. It requires much foresight, dexterity, and severe dedication to the art.
Yeah, I don't have very much foresight, and I can barely play this lute, so I understand, sir.
Please, sit. You are my guest. I am pleased that you accepted my invitation to come to my home.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the invite.
He indicates that you could sit at any seat that you like. It's a long, probably 15-foot long table, 20-foot long table. It's got about 12 or 13 places to sit.
I mean, I take one that's not super close to him, but I'm not sitting all the way across from him.
Oh, absolutely.
To carry on a conversation 15 feet away like Batman Returns.
Ironic, sort of like the way we're seated now then, yeah?
Yeah, this is good, yeah. This is poignant.
As Bozak stares across, not wanting to make contact with the Count. He sits down, and again, things are attended to. Unfortunately, my castle chamberlain has other duties to attend, but please, feel free to eat.
Okay, well, I fill up a plate. He's quite hungry, being scared shitless for hours.
Yep. You see, he seems to have a single goblet of some sort of red liquid, and he...
Of course he does.
He sips from it.
Are you not joining me, sir?
I do not typically eat for... You see him sort of look up and see if he's staring at the sky. Sometime yet.
Right.
A nice soft glass of ambrosial liquid will hold me over for some time. But please... Eat your fill. It must be difficult climbing the side of the mountain at such a rapid pace.
Well, you just have eyes everywhere, don't you?
The mountain is old. The castle is old. I am old. Little escapes my sight.
That's quite a talent you have there. So... I love that wasn't a Cody laugh. That was Count laughing, wasn't it?
As he sips the dark, bloody liquid from his wine glass.
Okay, so I've eaten my plate. I've drank my fill.
Mm-hmm. He seems more than happy to, you know.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that the pleasure portion is over, let's get down to business.
Ah. What business did you have in mind to discuss?
Why did you invite me here?
Well,
there had to be a purpose.
I am lord of this land. You are visitors to my
humble country, it only seemed right to invite you here. I'm sad that your fellow travelers did not see fit to join you.
Yeah, about them. They are a bunch of cowards.
It is not easy for everyone to face one with such a reputation as myself.
Yep.
It speaks to your internal fortitude. Perhaps your wandering has made you stronger than them. Wiser, perhaps?
Probably not. We'll see how this decision pans out.
He smiles.
Before I make that call.
He smiles as he licks his pearly white teeth. Bold, perhaps, then.
That sounds about right.
He stretches and gets up out of his chair and sort of paces in front of the organ.
I remember my younger days. Perhaps not so unlike you and I. I was also bold. This castle was once held by ruffians. It is now mine. This land, held by enemies, now it is mine. The bold do not let others take what they want.
Oh, that's right. Just insight, is his accent the same as people that I've met in the area?
Give me a...
be an insight roll, wouldn't it?
I mean, just an insight, you would notice that, but you're wanting something more, so... Well, is there a perception?
Yeah.
Versus an... Yeah, give me a... Is perception or insight better for you?
Same.
Okay, give me a... technically, I'll call it a perception roll.
An 8.
It sounds pretty much the same.
Oh, okay. Are you from these parts?
Originally, no. But, some time ago, the war brought me here, and I made this the seat. My seat of power. It is perhaps a bit egotistical to sit 1,000 feet above Barovia, but they remember you up here.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Oh. So what war was it that brought you here?
It was a long time ago.
You see, he sort of stares off. This time he's not staring off like waxing poetic. He seems to be staring in a direction as if with a purpose, but he doesn't continue what he's saying. Sort of. So again, I don't know if you've quite got the orientation. So the organ is behind us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the doors are over there, almost exactly like this setup, right?
Okay.
And the door that you came from would be sort of like where my front door is. So out the door and to the left.
Uh-huh.
And then you would make another left. And so the courtyard is actually behind us. If that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
He seems to be staring deeper into the heart of the castle.
Fair enough.
As if he's seeing through the walls.
Okay.
So, what plans do you have here in Barovia?
So, I honestly don't remember why. we were invited here.
Ah.
We've just kind of been figuring that out ourselves, as we seem to not be able to get out.
That is a shame. This Fallage Road is old. And old things oftentimes are not as simple to take out as one might imagine.
Uh-huh. Picking up your meaning, sir.
You definitely are the smartest of your group, I must say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Again, think of it not as...
Not the wisest.
Boldness.
Yeah.
We must agree to call it boldness.
I do like that. It has a certain charisma to it.
So who was it that invited you then? I'm curious as to who invited you to our land.
Okay, I'm out of game. I don't remember. I don't have my notes.
You got that letter from the burgomaster inviting you in?
Yeah.
So, and then you got that other letter that said, don't come in, for the love of God, don't come in?
So I say all of that to him.
Ah. Interesting. So.
Which one was from you?
And why do you say that?
Just curiosity.
A bold statement to call a lord a liar and a deceiver in his own homestead.
Not at all, not at all, but I've heard your voice before.
Have you now?
On this Volage Road.
That is quite some way from here.
I'm not talking to you're not the average noble, my lord.
Ah, I am but a simple nobleman of a simple place. Egotistical, sure. Old, set in his ways, yes. But I am here to serve the people. To take care of the land. I am the land in many ways. So, where will you go from here?
I'll find my compatriots if I can.
The ones that abandoned you.
I have quite the bone to pick with them.
So
I thought that most of them were my friends.
And now?
I'm not so sure. They didn't come with me.
Abandoned you, I would say, but perhaps they are not as bold and as courageous as yourself.
Maybe not. Birds of a feather.
Yes. You know, but all...
That was out of character. Or out of game.
All birds fly before the ravens.
Are you a raven, Count?
Well...
Or are you the eagle?
You'll find that there aren't any eagles in Barovia. The ravens have killed them all.
Power and numbers?
At one time, perhaps. Today, the symbol, Ravenloft, this castle. The raven is an old symbol in my family. Perhaps a bit morose, but it comes from my mother's side, and we must do what we can for dear mother, yes?
Oh, yeah. Never knew mine.
It's unfortunate. Would you have liked to?
I don't know. Kind of like who I am now.
Admirable.
I don't think I'd be me with that.
Very admirable. So, we're confronting our former associates then, yes? And what is our ultimate goal? What do you want, Bozak? Tribeless Bozak. What stirs your heart?
I don't want to be tribeless.
What tribe do you seek to join?
I'm trying to think how to word this shit.
Witty repartee is sort of in the evil mastermind playbook. Yeah.
A tribe where I'm appreciated and sought after and not abandoned like my parents.
Like your friends.
Yeah, them too.
But there is always a price to join such things. Is Tribeless Bozak willing to pay the price?
I don't know. What's the cost-benefit analysis?
What's the market share?
Yeah. What's the ROI on vampirism?
As I'm sure you understand, I am a powerful lord. I can do much. I can help you find your tribe. Help you find your original tribe, if that is what you seek. Help you find power? Justice? Revenge?
At justice, her what passes for ears prick.
Okay.
And then at revenge, you know, her eyebrows go up too.
Such as Dragonborn have eyebrows.
Yeah. Her brow ridge.
There you go.
Perks up.
You see he steps off to the side and refills his wine glass.
From the body hanging on the wall or?
Oh, no, there's a pitcher off to the side.
Oh, okay. Is it a glass pitcher?
No.
When I see it pour, does it look really thick and gross and opaque?
No, not really.
Okay. I'm kind of at your mercy.
If you say so, but Someone who is so bold, someone who makes these decisions, they make these decisions with their intuition, their animal instinct, that which what keeps a warrior alive in dangerous places. What does your instinct tell you, Tribeless Bozak? What do you want?
Okay, out of character. Or out of game, like you know, when this first happened, I told the guys, I was like, I'm going to ask him for power and come after you assholes for abandoning me. But I don't want to do that to my friends IRL. But I think the character, because of the gift of friendship and the loyalty that she feels in a friend as a loner, like, she is fucking devastated that they didn't come after her. And she's an assassin, like, you know? She, I don't think, is of a forgiving nature.
Okay.
But then I don't want to piss off Jeff and Troy and Lucas.
That's understandable.
So, I honestly don't know how to answer that.
That's fine. This is deep. You are going deep here. And chances are, I probably won't edit this out. Just depends on what we decide to do. But
I'll keep looking at the microphone even when I say out of game, then.
We'll see what happens. The question being, you have come... This game is about choices.
Yeah.
Ravenloft in particular is about choices. Choices with cost. I'll do this and I'll do that again in Strahd's voice because we might get back into the game.
Ravenloft me.
It's like, what you must understand is that choices... You face choices. And choices come with cost. Choices always come with cost. Sometimes they cost you your family. Sometimes they cost you your pride, your social standing. Sometimes they even cost you your love. And you may never get that back, no matter how hard you try. But in the end, making those choices... That is what we must do. That is life, is it not?
Yeah.
So, Tribeless Bozak, you must make a choice. If you seek my help, if not, so be it. I understand. But a lord would be remiss if not to speak to those who come into his land and have such problems. I'm here to help.
Oh my god.
The first choice to make,
yeah,
is do you want to continue? Does Tribeless Bozak want to continue this line of questioning or not?
Tribeless has a very sinking suspicion that if she doesn't go the way that the Count is prodding, that she will be eaten. Even though he hasn't said anything, from what she's heard of the villagers and the gypsy people, Vistani, you know, she is positive that he is a Denzian of evil and is probably a vampire due to the bites on Arena and the things that attacked us in the cemetery or the church and shit.
Okay.
So, she is reasonably sure that if she doesn't acquiesce, she's not walking out of here alive.
Does she say that?
No, that would be insulting.
Okay.
So, okay, I guess then maybe I should say it.
Should say what?
Well, Count, you are a being of great power. And I feel our conversation leading a certain way. And if I don't choose that way, I feel I might be in greater danger.
Such is life, I suppose. That is your feeling, your instinct. What makes you feel like you would be in greater danger? I agree, it is very bold to refute the suggestions of those with great power. But, again... You've made the bold choice in coming here already, and for that I respect you. If it is me you fear, you have no need to fear me. But, again, I think that there are things you want. There are things I want. And I believe that we could help each other out. If you feel differently, do not feel that you have insulted me. I simply wanted to have a little conversation.
All right, what the fuck would you do? God damn it!
You're going to have to record a Between Two Crits episode, so you just talk about the decisions. This is gothic horror. If you read gothic horror comes with price.
If I do this, I don't think Lucas will recover. Just talking to him outside about it. I don't think it will be salvageable.
Remember when I said that I needed to build you guys up to be prepared for this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is sort of what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like I said, before you focus on the role-playing aspect, the question is, what does Tribeless Bozak decide? At this point, you are correct. The conversation is coming to a head. Bozak...
She wants to maintain the balance between good and evil. She wants to maintain the balance in all things. She was betrayed. She wants to betray.
So...
She, you know...
As we are panning away from this in camera, Bozak... either obviously stands up and leaves or leans in closer and begins talks. that's sort of the way we go at this point.
Gothic horror. Good storytelling. It's not an average D&D game. So she leans in.
Okay. Now.
And I want this on fucking record. This is not a regular D&D game. This is trying to build a compelling story and also follow the role my character is playing. This decision is made with no avarice IRL.
Totally going to edit that all out.
No, you're not.
Re-edit that so it sounds like, fuck you.
Fuck my... Friends. I just want people to still come over to my house every now and then, so don't alienate my peoples.
Okay. The next question.
Yeah.
That is decided in the game world. Okay. In the game world, Tribeless Bozak has made that decision to speak with Count Strahd. Now, the next question involves Matt.
Yeah, okay.
Does Matt want to hear the rest of the conversation? Because if Matt hears the rest of the conversation, you continue to play as Tribeless Bozak.
Okay.
If, and again, this is taking into consideration exactly what you're talking about. If Matt does not want to play Tribeless Bozak at this point, I can take her. And you can play something else. But if that happens, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's... So, but I would have to play separate for, like, till we meet up.
You would be playing as another character who is likely already in Valaki. You could play as another character.
Yeah.
So the thought is do you want... I am providing this opportunity... I'm calling it an opportunity. There are air quotes in this. Do you want the opportunity for Bozak to enact her revenge at the table without anyone knowing? Or do you want to start an entirely new character? I will take Bozak and I will do with her as I please.
Ooh, that's a sticky wicket. I mean, honestly, just for the sake of having fun and playing the game with my friends, you have the option of doing the other character.
Yes, I don't want
because to... if I go the evil path with Bozak, what I'm quote unquote evil path, you know, then it's going to be a lot of separate gameplay probably for a while.
I will tell you, if you want to continue playing Bozak, I will sort it out so you will be in the next session. It's not as if you will be – there's not going to be some wax on, wax off Mr. Miyagi training montage where you're playing entirely separately with the group.
Okay. But
– I don't want to go into any more detail than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah. I might use it.
And, I mean, even then, like, the three of them will probably overpower me because I'm a glass cannon.
But remember.
But to remember.
Fortune, you know, fortune smiles upon the bold. And the ancient is nothing if not bold.
Yeah, but I don't.
It's a choice.
Sure is.
But you can guarantee that the the plan will be hatched well before anyone gets to listen to this. So that's what I'm saying. I am providing a unique role-playing opportunity, and if you don't want to take it, I absolutely understand, because it may cause a fight.
Mm. Don't edit this out. Okay?
You want me to email you the raw file so you have it for all time?
All right, then. In the interest of the storytelling and following the role of the character, I choose to go with Strahd. In the interest of being, you know, a friend IRL,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to turn the character over to you.
All right. You good with that?
I am, because in the end, if she wins... It's actually a victory for me because character.
It's absolutely not.
No, it will be.
It's absolutely not because I'll make something horrible happen to her, I'm sure.
Oh, well, that's fine. But either way, it'll be really fun. So, here you go. If you need help with my writing, let me know.
Goodbye to Tribeless Bozak.
Bye. Bye, Tribeless.
So, I will appreciate you not telling the players what happened. You have no knowledge of the castle. Or its inner workings.
Right, that would be meta.
So, let's switch over to your new character. Okay. Because we may need that introduction. What are you playing?
I am a half-orc monk.
Okay.
So, I'm a monk. Get it? And I am using the monastic tradition of Way of the Long Death.
Okay.
Which monks of that... tradition inherently study death and all living things, and with rumors of living death in this region, my character came to investigate, because they seek not only to learn of death but to also collect samples of death. So wherever his monastery is, you know, the animals in that area, they have examples of every one of them. Like at the Natural History Museum, like right. Dead bodies to be studied. But then they also go out on forays to find other creatures. And on one of his forays, he heard tell of vampirism.
Okay.
You like that? That work?
I'm thinking. There's still a lot that you guys don't know and don't understand. And I'm trying to utilize introduction of new characters, new PCs, as additional information.
Right.
So you are married to being a half-orc, yes?
I'm married to it. I just been listening to a podcast where a character is a half-orc and I really like it.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm just trying to see... The strength
bonus is nice.
I think that seeking out... vampirism is an interesting concept. Would this, do we have a name?
I don't.
Okay. So for now, how about we just call you the monk?
Okay.
As I said, this is probably going to be a really interesting episode because it's probably going to be an episode of just you and me, given how the time constraints are going. So we will do the end of Tribeless Bozak and the beginning of the monk. So the monk, does the monk work male or female?
I'll go male. I'm a female last time.
Okay. So does he work alone? Would he travel alone? Would he travel with companions?
Travel alone.
Okay. So he's traveled alone. And he has heard tell of... What's your alignment?
Well, now, traditionally, like in 3-5, all monks had to be neutral. So I actually wanted to talk to you about that.
monks don't have to be neutral. They need to be, ideally, they need to be lawful. Okay. Because even this is where lawful evil comes into play. You have a monastic tradition that you follow rigorously.
Yes.
So you are lawful something. Whether that be lawful good, lawful neutral, lawful evil. You are probably, I would say you're lawful or neutral. There's no way that you can be chaotic because you are, you're regimented.
No, yeah, a monk can't be chaotic. There's no way.
I'm just curious if you are neutral, good, or evil. You don't have to decide that, oh, I'm neutral, or I'm neutral, good, or whatever, but...
Well, and like you said, too, just kind of gameplay-wise, like putting an evil character in is really hard to do.
It is. I don't disagree. I didn't know how this Way of the Long Death read out, so I'm just
going... It did not say that it had to be evil.
Oh, no, probably not.
Anything like that.
It's a study of death. It's a fascination of it.
Yeah, and not the afterlife, just the actual biological responses of death.
Mm-hmm.
So, And I guess lawful neutral.
Okay.
Be what I went with, because as a half-orc, I probably wouldn't go lawful good. And actually, you know what? For background, I chose urchin. So as a child, parents died of plague. This is the third one I've done where I have no parents. Third character.
Man, how must your parents feel?
I know. Like, they live across. I went to my dad's birthday today. But,
I wish I didn't have any parents.
Well, and then I actually rolled out because I had time while you guys were playing. So I actually rolled out like the traits, ideals, and bonds. So the bond is I'm wanted for robbery in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So in my fleeing the town, the monks took me in.
Gotcha.
So I definitely don't think I'd be good because, you know, I have a history of doing naughty things. But my... My flaw is it's not stealing if I need it more than someone else. So it was really, it was stealing out of survival.
Right.
So again, that goes towards the neutral part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the monks taught me the lawful, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
Lawful neutral, I think would probably be the wisest decision for my character play.
Okay. So let's see, what can I give you? So in your study of the long death,
mm-hmm.
you hear a story of an ancient land, an ancient
come from a land down under. Sorry.
He offered you a Vegemite sandwich.
I better switch over to monk now on my,
you better run. You better take cover. What's the joke though?
Pardon.
So perhaps in your studies, you came across a text. A text that is written in a year date you don't understand. As best you can correlate, it's probably 400 to 600 years old. Of a land separated by mist. Of a land where a proud and noble warrior was... He conquered the land. And he took over everything. But the man was quite vain. The man, he brought his family in, established a castle. He was a bit older at the time. The wars had kept him away, and he was never wed. And your understanding is that he was also a powerful wizard, and that death was his only fear, and that he looked to cheat death. But in that looking to cheat death, he sacrificed all. But in sacrificing all, he cheated that death that he looked so hard to cheat.
So he double cheated death.
Yes. He completely cheated all death. So that intrigues you because you understand vampirism. Your sect, while being interested in it, probably sees it as a plague or a virus. You know what I mean? You mm-hmm. see it as a disease that spreads. This is different from that. This, and again, perhaps you become obsessed with it. You know, you become obsessed with this story because this was a power that was sought after, but not in the same way that wizards seek after it. This tale writes as if it were a gift, as if it was given to one who was worthy to receive it. And in so doing, the story tells that he damned himself, his family, the land. And I think that entranced your monk so much that he went and sought after that.
Okay. Sounds good.
So he also entered through the mists. He wandered into Barovia. Soon found that he was in roughly the right place. He spoke to, what's his name? Kolyan Ididorovich. So what would he have done next? He arrives. He finds out that the man he's looking for is probably Count Strahd von Zarovich. Mm-hmm. He arrives in Barovia on the old Svalich Road. Where's his search take him next? Does he stay in Barovia a while? Does he walk the road? Does he, upon saying, hey, I found him, turn and try and leave?
No, because he wants to study him.
So how does he go about doing that?
He wants to see if he can kill the unkillable.
But again, sort of like your characters learned, he learned about the Midnight March. He learned about the hundreds who had tried and failed, thousands who have tried and failed. And he is not...
But he's not interested in the afterlife. Again, it's the biological response. So it's not the ghosty things that he cares about. It's the sustainable life in this being.
Right. But what I'm saying is that he would not be hasty.
No, so he's probably researching. Okay. Because that's what these monks do, mm-hmm. is heavy research. So he is probably going village to village and getting the stories and looking at the records that are kept.
Okay.
Trying to figure a timeline and seeing if there's anything of whatever blasphemous arcane ritual that made him into what he is.
So you've been here for... You search Barovia. They don't have books. At least they don't have books.
They don't, but there was... See, okay, so a monk comes with 10 darts, right?
Yeah.
And you remember I found darts in the murder house?
Yes.
So...
He did not go to the murder house.
Come on, he went to the murder house. Because they had a library there.
There's a bit about the death house that you guys did not pay attention to.
Oh. What is it? Fucking just tell me. I mean, we're in the secret cube here. I can't share.
You would have stumbled across the bodies of the person who had those darts. No one has ever escaped the death house.
Oh. I was going to say I was attacked and used my darts and killed my attacker.
No, those darts were stuck in as part of a trap.
Oh.
Inside the secret part of the library that was undisturbed.
Damn. Okay. So, whatever. Yeah, I spent some time in Barovia.
So you haven't found anything.
Yeah.
In fact, roll a history check.
I don't have modifiers.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to give you we'll just call it a +3 for now. So roll an add 3.
A 12.
You actually don't find anything, like, at all prior to 400-ish years ago. Like, what little you can scrape together doesn't say shit about what happened 400 to 600 years ago.
I also spend time trying to, you know, get the oral history as well from the residents.
Like who?
Whomever I would run into.
Okay.
A thorough search of the area. You know, I would secure lodging somewhere for work.
Gotcha.
And this would be like my pet project until I, Incredible Hulk, moved on to the next town to set right that which once was wrong.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I can give you. So the thing is that you don't find anything. We'll say you spend several months in Barovia. You get to talk to the denizens that are there. Remind me that you spent time in Barovia. If you guys go back to Barovia, you'll have connections that obviously we're not establishing right now.
Well, and as an urchin, I would have an understanding of the streets and layout of the town after spending time there. Jesus, who has the essential Moon Knight book?
I do.
I know.
I like Moon Knight.
Yeah, he's an interesting character, but... cool.
Roll me 2d6.
3 and a 5.
Okay. So here's, and again, you collect these things over time, talking to various Barovians. So according to them, Strahd must rest in his coffin during the day, and at night he can summon wolves and vermin to do his bidding. He can transform into a bat, a wolf, a cloud of mist, and in human form he can dominate you with his powerful gaze.
Okay, hang on here. Night, coffin, by day, he can turn into mist.
He can turn into a bat, a wolf, or a cloud of mist. Mm-hmm. He can summon wolves and vermin. And he can also dominate you with his powerful gaze.
Summon rats and vermin. Control with his gaze.
They also believe he is a curse placed on the land because of a forgotten sin of their ancestors.
So the people believe that?
Yes.
Okay.
The Barovian people believe that Strahd is a curse because of some sin they caused.
Okay.
Okay. Roll me another 2d6. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Roll me 2d8. Apologies.
An 8 and an 8.
Roll another one.
An 8. What the fuck? A 6.
Okay. So you hear, so they know you're looking for information, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, one place you could go that might still preserve it is there is a fortified village named Kretzik.
Fortified village named
Kretzik. K-R-E-Z-K. Kretzik.
Kretzik.
I haven't actually said it out loud. Didn't expect to be saying it out loud for a while, so.
Fair enough.
It lies at the west end of the valley and is built around an old abbey. So they think that the abbey might have information that you'd be interested in.
West end of the valley, built around an old abbey.
And
that may contain info.
The burgomaster there, his name is Dmitry Kreskov. So they say you could talk to Dmitry Kreskov.
Dmitry Kreskov.
So they say you should speak with Dmitry Kreskov. They also tell you, so you're the first visitor to Barovia in a while. And they tell you a tale of some mad wizard who was convinced he could come in and kill Strahd. And he apparently was struck down, but perhaps not killed.
Struck down, but maybe not killed. Was he a dust elf?
He was not.
Ah, poop.
But they believe he haunts the mountains now.
Believed to haunt the mountains.
I've already given you a lot of information, so this last one I'm going to let you toss a d6.
4.
Toss it again. You already know that.
A 4. A 5.
The people in Barovia, outside of the bar, so like Kolyan and Ismark the Lesser, and you even get to know Irina Kolyana.
I know her.
Mm-hmm. If you stayed in town for a few months, absolutely.
Okay.
Kolyana, Kolyan Ididorovich, when you are, so you're talking about this village of Kretsk and how you kind of want to go to the village of Kretsk, and they're kind of helping outfit you and trying to get you there. He tells you that, in hushed whispers outside of the bar, I forget what the bar is. Oh, Blood of the Vine is what the tavern is there. He lets you know that the Vishtani serve the devil Strahd. You should never trust them. And that...
Serve the devil Strahd. Never trust.
He says, and it's kind of weird, doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but he remember him saying, they're the only ones allowed to leave Barovia.
Barovia is the whole country, right? Like the-
It's sort of used interchangeably. Barovia is sort of considered all of the land, mm-hmm. but it's also considered that exact town. So
It's sort of Barovia with a little B or Barovia with a big B. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else?
The Greater Metropolitan District of Barovia.
Exactly. So you travel to Valaki, having adventures, leveling up, which is how you get to level 3, I'm sure. When you get to Valaki, there's a celebration going on. And it is... you get there on the day of the Wolf's Head Jamboree.
Wolf's Head or Wolves?
Wolf's.
Okay.
In which the Burgomaster and the rest of the town got together in the town square and, like, decapitated wolves and hoisted them on pikes. And it was kind of weird. So I'm assuming you probably found a place to stay after that. But you happened to get in town and that happened. That was roughly... okay. And afterwards, you went to stay at the... how would you react to that? Actually, I'm kind of curious. How would your monk react to watching all these people sort of dance around and be head wolves?
I would be interested, and then I would probably try to obtain one of the carcasses and have it pickled.
Oh, absolutely. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Yeah. And see if I could, you know, I mean, I can't ship it back now. Unless I find a Vishtani. Yeah.
And I will say that you get a room at the Blue Water Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you've been.
Okay.
And the Wolf's Head Jamboree was approximately 3 days ago. 4 days ago, something like that. It's been less than a week. And that brings your monk up to present.
Okay. Cool.
Does that work?
That works.
So for Valaki, you've been there for not quite a week. There is some additional information I don't necessarily want to go over now. But feel free, when you are introduced, to use that to your discretion. So you will know some things, but not a lot of things.
Okay.
So... part of it, I don't want to give you too much pre-planning and thought since I've thrown a lot at you already. So as we're playing and the guys are introduced, assuming they can get in the gates of Valaki, as it doesn't look like they're going to be able to right now, we will get to a point where I will find an organic way to bring you into the game. And then if you think that the information is perhaps reasonable for someone who's been staying in Valaki for, say, 4 to 5 days to know, simply remind me, hey, is this something that I would know? And you will get that like information for free.
Local check or something?
You wouldn't even necessarily need to make a check. Okay. If it's like, where is X place? Or what happened 2 days ago? You know what I mean?
Okay.
So we need a name for your monk. We need to roll some stats.
I honestly would like to just, like... the monks give up their name when they join the order.
Okay.
So they can call me brother or the monk.
That's fine.
It kind of gives me a, like, the bride kind of a deal. I like it.
You can be called whatever you want.
So yeah, let's roll some stats.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and shut this off then. This is, how long do we record? It's probably 45 minutes, yeah?
I got an hour and five.
That might be a whole secret Matt episode.
That'd be fun.
And call it the secret Matt episode. And we'll probably do more of these depending on what happens. So hopefully everybody enjoys that. And when we come back, we will be with our party outside the walls of Valaki.
Bye.
Our title track, Nocturne, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their new album, Nocturnes. To find out more about Sleep for the Weary, check them out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook, and at sleepfortheweary.com. Join in the brothel conversation on Facebook. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be sent to betweentwocrits@gmail.com. Like what you heard? Subscribe, share with your friends, and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes.